Well, good morning. We'll be, as you heard read, the first chapter of Acts there as we get started here in the book of Acts. I want to remind you of a couple resources that we have for you. The first one is the Sunday Recap, which comes in a weekly email, or you can find it on the website. And if you go to See and Hear there at the top, and then you go to Watch the Sermon or Listen to the Sermon, there's two things. You can watch the sermon, listen to the sermon, and the third little icon there is a document, and that is the sermon recap, and that will have a recap of the sermon on it. It'll have questions. It'll have resources like books and articles and other things to read on the topic that we talk about today. So that's very helpful. The next thing is a 12-week Bible study that Crossway put together. We'll be going through Acts in more than 12 weeks, but so you wouldn't even have to do it every week. You have time to consider it and think about it. With this 12-week Bible study, we have some of those in the back for a suggested donation of just $5 each. So we got those at a good price since we have some folks who work at Crossway here. So encourage you to take those, maybe even grab a few people and say, hey, I'm going to go through this. Do you want to go through this with me? We can meet together and talk about the book of Acts together. All right, so there's your resource update. Let me ask you a question as we get going here on the sermon, and that is, have you ever read the Bible and thought to yourself, that's amazing? You know, the way God is present in the midst of that story is wonderful. I wonder what that was like. I wish that was today. You know, I wish that sort of thing happened today. Or maybe you know someone who is a person who seems to always be aware of the presence of God. You know, like they pray about things and things happen. And they act like God is actually with them during the day and during their life. Well, if you're a person who kind of struggles with that understanding of God's activity in the present day, I wish I could say, I'm a pastor, you know, I don't struggle with that sort of thing. But then later today, God would remind me that I lied, I have to repent. And so just to get past all that, I'll just say, yes, I'm with you on that. I think we all at times struggle with realizing God's activity in the present. Well, all those scenarios, they reveal something about us, and that is that we may believe in a God that worked, and perhaps he worked here in these pages in the times that that happened. He's probably going to work in the future at some point when he comes back, but in that middle stage that we exist, we're kind of unsure of what his activity looks like or if there is any activity at all. Well, there is a word for that, and it's called deism. Deism is the belief in a God who created the earth. He is an intelligent designer. You look around and you see, okay, there's clearly some designer behind this thing. It's complex, human bodies, the way life comes into being, nature, all of these things, amazing. There had to be a designer behind it. But it's kind of the idea that you stop right there and you say, all right, God kind of created the world and wound it up and spun it into existence and then kind of step back and takes a hands-off approach. That's deism. Now, many of us would probably say, no, I don't believe that. At least we'd say that with our words. But then if you look at our lives, maybe you'd see a little bit difference, that maybe we are deist at heart. There's a seminary professor named Dennis Johnson, who wrote a great book called The Message of Acts and the History of Redemption. Listen to what he says about this problem we have. Would we say this out loud? Never. But our meager prayer lives, our anxiety, our dependence upon novel techniques in evangelism, our hope in technology to solve spiritual problems, all these testify to our unspoken assumption that God's real action is in the past and in the future, but not in the present. We act as though Jesus wound up the church and then flung us out onto our own, and we say, our church can't grow in this neighborhood, or I won't apologize until she does and she won't, or he says he's sorry but he'll do it again. Or what will become of us? So you read that quote, and the first thing you think is, hey, Dr. Johnson, mind your own business. And then secondly, you think, yeah, that kind of sounds like us a little bit, doesn't it? It's familiarity there. Well, what's the cure to this deal of deism that we struggle with? Well, I think part of it is going back into the scriptures and seeing the activity of God in the everyday life of people and realizing, like we saw last week when we did an overview of the book of Acts, how does the book of Acts end? It's very open-ended. And realize that is still continuing to this day, that God is present and active now, not just in the past and not just in the future, but he's present right now. And from the beginning of Acts, Dr. Luke, the author of this book, is going to make sure we notice that. And he's going to do it with just one word. Look at the very first verse of the book of Acts. In the first book, remember, he's talking there about the Gospel of Luke. That was the first book he wrote. We said, think about this as a set with two volumes. He's talking about volume one. In the first book, O Theophilus, we don't know who that guy is, quickly go past that, I have dealt with all the things that Jesus began to do and teach. Did you notice a very important word there? The one word that he does this with is the word began. What you're expecting to hear is Luke say, in the first volume, I talked about everything Jesus did and taught. Now, in this second volume, I'm going to talk about everything the church does and taught. And yet, Luke says something very different with that one word. He says, in the first book, I wrote about everything Jesus began to do and teach. Meaning, in this second volume, I'm going to talk about everything Jesus continues to do and teach. So our sermon summary is this. Acts tells of the things Jesus continued to do and teach. Acts is the continued ministry of Jesus. Very important. You might think, hold on, it's look at the name. It's called the Acts of the Apostles. Was this the Acts of the Apostles? Was this the Acts of Jesus? And Luke says, yes, it is those, both of those. It's the ministry of Jesus in and through these apostles and in and through his church. And so it's easy for us to look at the book of Acts and the rest of Scripture and even our lives right now and have this deistic bent. Meaning we see that God's and Jesus sort of started the mission and sort of spun it and then kind of backed away and said, let's see what happens. Or Jesus takes the baton of the mission that he accomplished and hands it to the church. That sounds correct, but here with this one word at the beginning of the book of Acts, Luke makes sure you understand that is not what's happening. Jesus, he tells us that Jesus gives instruction and then ascends into heaven. And so you might think, that sounds like his part is done. But he wants to make sure you understand. It's not done. Began to do and teach. This, what I'm about to tell you, Luke says in the book of Acts, is the continued ministry of Jesus. It's not the end of the story and the start of another story. So God, keep in mind throughout this book, God is an intervening God. And what you'll see throughout this book is that this gospel is extremely disruptive. It's a disruptive gospel, an intervening God and a disruptive gospel. He didn't just wind up the world and sit back and watch what happens. Neither did Jesus wind up his mission, throw it out there and to the church and step back. Active ministry of Jesus from start to finish. I want you to think about, in the first volume, the book of Luke, you don't have to know much of the book of Luke to just know, what did the ministry of Jesus look like during his time on earth? It looked like the ministry of God through the flesh and blood of a Jewish carpenter named Jesus. God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, comes and embodies human flesh, and God's ministry exists through this man, through this body. He spoke to people, he taught people, he spent time with his disciples, he ate with tax collectors and sinners, he's healing people. This is his ministry, that's God's ministry that's happening through Jesus. What does the ministry look like after Jesus ascends? It looks the same. It looks like the ministry of God through a body. The body has just expanded quite a bit. Now it's not just one human being through which God's presence and God's ministry happens, but it's many people called the church, and that's what you're reading about here in the book of Acts. The ministry of Jesus through this body of a Jewish carpenter, now the ministry of Jesus through this body called the church, all of us together. He actually exists there. He actually dwells there in the midst of his people. He lives in and through those people. So I want you to hear this. Just as Jesus was the embodiment of God to the world, so the church is the embodiment of the risen Christ to the world. Now, I know you want to say, that sounds a little heretical. I'm just reading the scriptures. Jesus was the embodiment of God to the world. And now Jesus continues through us, the church, and we are the embodiment of Jesus to the world. He exists in us. So now you can understand why spending time together is a big deal for us. Because that's where Jesus is, in and through us. So we spend time together and we receive the ministry of Jesus. And what a big deal it is for us to invite the outside world to come and spend time with us. How will they interact with the risen Christ? They'll interact with the risen Christ through his body, the church. So in John chapter 14, the disciples keep saying, and other people keep saying, like, can you show us the Father? Can you show us God? And he says, all right, stop asking that question. If you've seen me, you have seen God. Okay? I am the embodiment of God. I am God in flesh. And so if you want to see the Father, just look at me, because everything that the Father has told me to do, I do. He's in me and working through me. So stop asking the question, acting like you haven't seen him. And in Acts, God is telling us the same thing is happening through us. And the world says, let us see Jesus. And we say, if you've seen us, you've seen Jesus, because his love is coming through us. His compassion is coming through us. His unity is among us. And so you have seen this risen Christ if you've seen us. Now, take a long view of that, because every day isn't this perfect picture of Jesus Christ amongst us, is it? But he is in us and living through us. So this ministry of Christ that continues, it began and now it's continuing. It didn't change hands as much as it kind of expanded its address from this one single human being to many human beings called the church. He continues to do and teach. So when we go through the book of Acts and you hear sermons, they're going to be really good sermons. I mean, you guys are used to good sermons, but these are going to be really, really good sermons in here. And you're going to think, those are amazing. Yes, that's because you're hearing Christ through these people. You're hearing the words of Christ. And you see healings and amazing things happen in the book of Acts. Wow, that's amazing. What is that? That's Christ working in and through those people. That's who you're seeing. He's in their midst. He's doing a work. So, even for us, you hear this through this, you get what you get, right? We've already said that. You hear the gospel through me. You know, it's an imperfect vessel, but it's a vessel. You're hearing who? Hopefully you're hearing Christ. This, through the words of this book, through my mouth, you're hearing Christ speak to you. And so when you spend time with one another, when people come to faith in Christ and their hearts are softened, we say, wow, that's amazing. Who's doing that? Well, that's the risen Christ through his Spirit doing a work. When you greet people, when you hand out programs, when you serve people coffee and desserts here afterwards, what is that? What is that love you experience and that welcome you experience? That's the love of Christ. It's the welcome of Christ among us. When you serve with the kiddos back there and play with the kiddos, what are they receiving? The ministry of Christ straight from you, straight from us together as a family. All these things are the activity of the continued ministry of Jesus, not just in the pages of this book and then came to a halt until he comes again. It's happening right now in our midst, the ministry of Jesus. From that book that I quoted from, Dennis Johnson, he has two questions that he stops and asks in the midst of this discussion. And then I added one to it. So here are the first two questions he asks. Number one, how would the awareness of Christ's presence affect all the issues surrounding the control and direction of the church? Planning, strategizing, budgeting, chain of command, church councils. This is so timely for us as we're thinking about, you know, vision for our future. How would the awareness of Christ's presence affect all those things? I think we realize, you know, we're not the ultimate authority here at this church. I'm not the ultimate authority. The elders aren't the ultimate authority. Jesus Christ is the ultimate authority here. So we hold things with an open hand. You know, we think we're supposed to do this. We think we're going to go in this direction, but we hold it with an open hand, knowing that the chief shepherd, the one who's really in charge of this church, the risen Christ, might take it in a different direction at some point. And that's okay. We'll follow the chief shepherd. He's present among us. He's not given us just instructions and said, follow these. He's living and active in our midst. Number two, how would a vivid consciousness of the presence of Christ affect the prayer life of the church? How would it affect our prayer life if we really, really behold this statement that the first book was what Jesus began to do and teach, and this is the continued ministry of Jesus? Wouldn't that change what he talked about for our anxieties and change the way we view what's happening here and what can come about from his presence and his changing things? And then third, I added, how would it affect the way we view ministry of our church and its power? You might think, we're not a huge church. We're not extremely influential. We're not in the news. Nobody's writing articles about us. Well, that doesn't matter. What does that have to do with anything? The risen Christ is here, and he's ministering amongst us and using us and ministering to the world around us. You know, if I read the pages of the scripture, it's not usually the most influential people doing a lot of the ministering. You know, I mean, Jesus comes to earth. He's got no home. He's a carpenter, and he chooses a bunch of fishermen, you know, a bunch of sailor guys, saying, come on, you know, we'll work on your language, but just come on. We can do this together, you know. How would it affect the way we view ministry of our church and its power? Well, let's go back to Acts 1:1-5, and keep going there. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs. So Luke wants to make sure you understand many people saw this risen Christ. This wasn't just like a hologram we saw for a minute or a daydream that we had. No, he was with people for many days after his resurrection, appearing to them for 40 days, speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but I will baptize you with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. It makes sense, if this is going to be the continued ministry of Jesus, that they can't just receive instructions and then go out on their own. They need something else. They need God's presence with them, right? And so Jesus says, don't go yet. He gets them all riled up for the mission of God. And then he says, our favorite thing to hear, why don't you just wait? Just sit there and wait for further instruction. Well, why wait? Couldn't he have just brought the Spirit right then? What's the deal with this waiting? Well, if you keep in mind that it's Jesus saying this is the continued ministry of himself, and then he's going to say, you guys need to just wait so that you remember, perhaps, that this isn't just me handing you the baton. This isn't just me giving you instructions and you memorizing some things and then going off on the mission of God and the gospel going from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria to the ends of the earth. Hold on. I want you to realize that this is me doing this. And so what you'll do first is just wait until my presence comes through my Spirit. I'm going to be the initiator of this. And then we'll go. So they needed more than a handbook. They needed more than conversation starters. Those are all helpful things. But they needed much more than that. They need the presence of God through the Spirit. So he says, wait. Matthew Skinner says this in his book on the book of Acts. Waiting proves wise when people try to make sense of where and how God is accompanying them. Waiting reminds us of our dependence on God and the limitations of our ability to see and know God. By waiting, Jesus' followers begin to learn that they need to be a responsive community, a community that waits upon God to initiate. Jesus says, but wait. And then in Acts 1:8, which is kind of that summary statement we said for the whole book of Acts, you read this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Power. All right, great. What does that look like? Like superhuman strength? Or what is this? You know, what do you mean power? It's very open-ended. Give us more information. And Luke says, just read through the pages of the book of Acts. I'm going to show you what that means. And Jesus is going to show us what that means. As we watch what happens through this church in the first century, you'll see power. You'll see people being healed. You know, one of the greatest displays of power that you'll see is this guy named Peter. Okay, remember Peter? Like, he was with Jesus, a disciple of Jesus. Then this sort of young schoolgirl comes up and says, have you been with Jesus? And he freaks, no, I've never seen him before. You know, he's extremely threatened and he cowers, you know. And now we see Peter in the book of Acts doing what? Preaching the gospel and saying things like this, you killed Jesus, the author of life. Oh my gosh, what has happened to this guy? You know, did he go to some therapy session to get some confidence, some speaking, teaching, training? No. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Great example of that. Peter, just like that, all of a sudden, boldly proclaiming the gospel. So you'll see this power throughout the book of Acts. It's a subversive power. It goes against the grain. It's kind of an underground power. But remember what we said last week, it can't be stopped. It will not be stopped, no matter what measures you take to halt it. It won't be stopped. Now, the amazing thing about this power that Luke does in his first volume is he shows us that that's the power Jesus had with him when he was on earth doing his ministry. And he makes that connection. One of the things you'll see a lot of in the book of Luke is talk about the Holy Spirit. And you think, why is he focusing so much on the Holy Spirit? Is he just fascinated with it? And then you read his second volume, and you might think, now I know why he focused on that in the first volume so much, because it comes back up again in the second volume with the church. He wants them to know the very same power that was with Jesus is now with you as you head out on the mission of God. Luke 3:21-22, notice what Luke wants to make sure that you see at the baptism of Jesus. Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus had been baptized and was praying, the heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him. So here we have Jesus. He's about to start his ministry. And what happens? The Spirit descends on him before he starts his ministry. You read the book of Acts. The church is about to start their ministry. What happens before they start their ministry? The Spirit descends upon them, and then they can start their ministry. Are you seeing this? After that, Jesus is sent out into the wilderness, and how does Luke describe it? And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Then the next 10 verses later. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. And then Jesus goes to a synagogue in Nazareth, pulls out the scroll of Isaiah, and what does he read? In Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. And Luke's saying, listen, the ministry of Jesus was the ministry of the Spirit within Jesus. Now back to Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit, that very same Holy Spirit, the same one, has come upon you. Just like it came upon Jesus. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Great. This power comes upon us. It enables us to do what? Enables us, look at the text, you receive power and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, to the ends of the earth. And so what does the power do? It enables us to be witnesses. What do you mean? What does that look like? Again, there's a vagueness. And Luke is saying, read the pages of this book. You'll see what it looks like to be a witness for Jesus. It's contained here in the stories that go forward. As the gospel goes forward, you'll see what it looks like to be a witness. Keep reading. Now, when you hear me talk about us being a witness, and when you read that, you know, some of us start to get, right, a little nervous because you think, I know eventually what he's going to say. He's going to say we need to share the gospel. He's going to say we need to say something to somebody else about Jesus. And I don't know what to say, right? I won't ask you to raise hands, but I know many of you have thought that. I don't know what to say. Well, here's the good news. If this was deism, and God and Jesus sort of said, here's my mission, and spun it in and then stepped back, there would be a problem. Because we would basically be reading the scriptures and looking at Jesus and saying, all right, let's do exactly like he did, I guess. That's our best bet. And he's sort of sitting back just watching. That's not the case, though. Remember, the first volume was what Jesus began to do and teach. This is what Jesus continues to do and teach. So it's not about us figuring out how to do this as much as it is about Jesus working in and through us and us understanding and following what he's doing through his Spirit. We get to be present, we get to engage, and we get to watch the fruit that the Lord Jesus creates through his ministry in us. Hear this good news from Luke chapter 12. The people then who Jesus is talking to have the same exact fear that you do and that I do about talking about Jesus at times. And he says this. Jesus says, when they bring you before the synagogues and rulers and authorities, do not be anxious about what you should defend, about how you should defend yourself, or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Oh, thank goodness. Jesus tells them, just relax. You're not going to know what to say. The Holy Spirit is with you. He will deliver to you words to say in that moment. So walk into that courtroom with no idea what you're about to say. And when you are ready to speak and your mouth opens, the Holy Spirit will speak these words for you. And what good news for us as we come together and say, God, if the ministry of Jesus is continuing and it's continuing through us through his Spirit and he's calling us to the mission of God, what do we say? And he says, I'll deliver to you the words that you need to say. Engage, be present in the mission of God, and watch me work in and through you, empowering his church just as he did in the pages of Acts, empowering us to engage in the very mission that has started in the book of Acts and continues to this day. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for your continued ministry in and through us. Lord, we confess that we often maybe don't even think about your mission from day to day, or we do and we recoil, or perhaps sometimes, Lord, we are engaging in it and get to see the fruit of what you're doing through us. It's all amazing and we're thankful for that. Continue to do that good work in us as a church. Thank you for the book of Acts that shows us of your work, of the empowering of your disciples to be your witness. May you do that same thing here. Continue to do that same thing here. And help us to see where you're doing it, who you're doing it with, and allow us to engage, reach out, and be confident that when we go to love other people and to share with them the love of Christ, that you will provide the words for us to say to them and the ways for us to love them. Thank you for this church. Thank you for these people. We pray all this in Jesus' great name. Amen.